The Sport of Winning on Blog Talk Radio is brought to you by the Haddad Auto Group in the beautiful Berkshires of Massachusetts. Subaru, Toyota, Hyundai, and now Nissan. The Haddad Auto Group in beautiful Pittsfield, Massachusetts. Dr. David Peck, Taylor Street Dental Associates in Springfield, Massachusetts, serving Western Mass and Northern Connecticut for general and cosmetic dentistry. BMW of Darien, located just outside of Metro New York City in Connecticut. And Hudeberg Subaru and Hudeberg Nissan, located at I-240 and Shields in Oklahoma City. Also by Hawkins Roofing, expert slate and chimney service serving Western Mass. Call Mitch, everybody else does. And by Video Broadcast Services, complete exclusive expert marketing services provided with video, with proven results for medical and dental practices, auto dealerships, and more. Call 888-996-9697.
Welcome to the Sport of Winning on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Marcia Hawkins, along with Kyle Klaus. Our mission here each weekday is to provide you with the right arsenal of tools to stack your business playbook with the most comprehensive and most effective, and more importantly, most affordable tools to lead your business to victory. Whether you own a small business, you're an entrepreneur, you own a car dealership, plastic surgery practice, insurance company, realtor, a franchise owner or dealer, or anything that has to do with business, or you just have an entrepreneurial mindset and you're ready to possibly launch your business, we will coach you through every play from financing, website tips, marketing, advertising, today's topic, finding and recruiting top talent. The Sport of Winning will coach you to success. Today we are on a recorded line, and I do apologize, but if you have any comments or questions, you can email us at info@videobroadcastservices.com. Again, that email is info@videobroadcastservices.com. A little bit about Video Broadcast Services. We are an exclusive marketing firm. One of our tools for success of our business and our clients and our strategy is the use of content videos to create a massive online presence for our clients. From website to traffic to retention, we have a complete different approach to online business. Think old school versus cutting edge technology. But today, the program is not about us. It is about you and your business. Let's bring on Kyle. Hi, Kyle.
Hey, Marcia, glad to be here, and really a great show today that we're offering to our listeners, and something that, will really help them to grow their business correctly and at the same time save money because they're not having to, you know, retrain or rethink what they've just done in terms of finding and recruiting top talent.
Right. Well, I think, I think any business owner, if you're trying to start a business and you know you're going to have to hire employees, you may not be able to relate to this. But over the course of the past 20-plus years, I've had the pleasure of, finding great people and hiring people and, working with some really, really good people. And I've had the issue that every business owner has of hiring people that maybe weren't so great. And that's okay, too. I think it's all part of the process. I think it's something that you have to go through. But I also think that a couple of little things you can do right in the initial stages of hiring somebody is to really ask some key questions. Kyle, while I'm, talking about some of the things that I like to ask when interviewing potential candidates, be thinking about some of the questions that, that you ask, because I know that on varying levels we interview different people for different positions, and I know we both have some common ground in terms of what we look for in a candidate. But I know we have some differing, personality traits, and that's good too. So, I mean, for me, one of the first questions that I like to communicate with people is I ask them directly, right initially, what is your dream job? And I think most of the time, if not all of the time, you can, with that question alone, sift out who you think is going to work and who's not going to work. And I had a situation recently where the position that somebody was applying for and their dream job had nothing to do with what we do. And yet they were insistent that they really felt that it was going to be a good fit. But I'm always willing to let somebody try, because you never know when you're going to have that that diamond in the rough, or that diamond that's ready to just kind of run with it. But I was right. They ended up not working out after 6 weeks of training. They realized that it really wasn't the job for them. So I own that. I didn't listen to my inner voice, and I think that's most important. That first impressions, I think, really reveal a lot. One of the things that I think people really need to be mindful is Facebook is starting to become part of the job process. But before we jump into that, Kyle, what are some of the questions you like to ask a potential candidate when interviewing them?
Well, when a potential candidate is being interviewed, remember, they're the ones that are selling themselves. And so a really good question to ask someone is, you know, just right up front, short and sweet, why should we hire you? And really have them explain to you, you know, what their strengths are, why they are the candidate for the job or the position. And then secondly, once they've explained that, you know, another important thing to ask them is, you know, from everything that you've learned about, you know, the role that you're applying for and about our company, tell us how you feel that you would make the greatest contribution. And really have them, delve in and explain, what they can offer, why they should be hired, how they can contribute to the company overall, especially with the company's morale. Because everything's not always, down to the dollar sign. It's also morale, which also translates into greater revenues. So it's important, you know, ask them how they can contribute in the morale, in any ideas that they have, what they've learned about your company before the interview. Because if they've just applied for a job and haven't really learned anything about your company, then they really haven't done the research. Is that going to be reflective of who they are if they are hired?
Right. And I also think that, you know, you can go on Craigslist to try to find people. You can hire a recruiter. You can put your own ads onto Craigslist in terms of looking for talent, Career Builder, Monster.com. There's plenty of places to be able to go to, you know, harvest a candidate's interview. What today's show is really about is really getting into the interview process and you know, kind of sifting through that and finding out what candidates are really going to work for you. And I think not all candidates, you know, it's not a one-size-fits-all. I think sometimes for example, if you're dealing with someone that you need for a tech job, they have a kind of a different personality. I know that when I've interviewed a lot of tech people, some that we've hired, they've actually said, I'm not a 9-to-5 person. I do a lot of my work at night. I'm a night owl. I work, you know, midnight is when I shine, and that's when I'm in my best element. That's when I do my programming. And I'm okay with that. I'm completely okay with that. I think sometimes you do need to modify the specs for that job in order to kind of mold the position for the right candidate. I'm all for that. I'm all for that. I think a lot of times candidates actually, in fact, I was just having this conversation with my niece the other day, that candidates really reveal a lot about themselves within an interview, sometimes without realizing that that's what they're doing. And she was talking about how at her previous job she did a lot of interviewing, and people would say, she would say, you know, well, why are you thinking of leaving your position with your company and coming to work for us? And she said, you know, it surprised her how many people would say, oh, well, I hate my job. I just can't stand the people I work for, the people I work with. And, you know, and she would say, oh, my gosh, that's just a huge red flag for me. Rather than just saying I'm looking for or I've capped my ceiling at the previous job. I really want a new challenge. You know, I'm not asking people to lie about it, but it's shocking how many people reveal their own personality traits when they start getting into an interview, and you quickly realize that they possibly are the problem and not the people that they work with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. A couple of questions that go along the line with that you can also ask is, you know, describe the best boss that you've ever had, or, you know, explain to us what motivates you or what frustrates you, and really getting to those questions, like you said, it'll be very telling for themselves. And, it's funny, it's like what I tell my kids all the time, when if they have a problem with multiple people, I always tell them there's always a common denominator, you know, in this scenario, and it's always you. And so like you were saying earlier, it's not necessarily the people that get it very well. If there's multiple problems, then very well, in most cases, it is them.
Right. And a lot of times it is, you know, the workplace that they're in, and, you know, you can be objective, but I think, you know, a 20-minute to a 45-minute interview is probably minimum 20 minutes to really, unless you know, 10 minutes into it that you're not going to hire the person, then certainly cut it short. But I think you can tell a lot about, you know, the questions. I know that for me, a red flag is, you know, when I've hired somebody, people that are constantly sending emails, they're telling you, you know, what can be done differently and what they can do, and yet they never make the changes themselves. That's always been a red flag for me, or people that constantly call out other people in terms of, you know, they never kind of look at their own job performance, but they're quick to point out the job performance of everybody else. And that's you know, a flag on the field for me. And I you know, it's kind of, you know, one of those situations where, you know, sometimes the louder you talk, you know, about others is really really talking about yourself. And a lot of people, you know, it's just easier. I'm not a big fan of deflection when people, you know, can constantly tell you what you're doing wrong and what other people are doing wrong, but yet they don't take their own inventory of what they've been able to contribute. And it is difficult. You know, for me, I have what is called a harmonious circle. And I've always found that when there's a negative break in that circle, that harmonious circle, it kind of depletes the energy of the group. And it can be very damaging. And I really believe that things don't, you know, your job shouldn't be stressful. It shouldn't be, it should be enjoyable. There are times when you're on a deadline or, you know, things need to be done. And yes, that can be very, very stressful. But everything can be managed, you know, at the end of the day. You know, unless you're a cardiologist and you're doing a, you know, quadruple bypass and somebody's life is at stake, all of it is probably pretty simple. You know, unless you're saving lives, in my opinion, I think every problem has a solution. I believe that when things are kept in perspective and everybody kind of pulls a little bit, I've said to many people that I've hired before, I'm happy to help you get, you know, my big thing was when I had my retail stores that I was always trying to groom people to open up their own stores. I always wanted to open up multiple locations and hire people to run those. And a lot of people would say to me when I hired them, it's been my dream to own a store like this. But, you know, you can quickly tell, and I think I can count on one hand the amount of people that actually broke off and, you know, resigned and did go open their own store. And I was, you know, always hands-on to help them. I would go over and help them set their stores up and, you know, just teach them everything that I possibly could. But, you know, sometimes I think it's easier to be objective about what others do than to do a self-analysis of yourself and really kind of take a look at that. And I think that you need to look at the longevity of somebody who has been self-employed, because self-employment is not for everybody. And so I think you have to kind of take a look at that. And you know, the longer people have been self-employed, you really have to respect the fact that they've been able to do that, because it's a lot of self-discipline, a lot of long hours. It's a lot of giving up weekends. It's, you know, a lot of stuff. And a lot of people are, you know, eager to think that they can own a business and run a business, but it's not as easy as it looks. And really, I think you can always find people to interview. It's really retaining them. And, you know, any person that's ever owned a business will tell you the retention factor is probably the most difficult to manage. When you get in over, say, 10 employees, it can be a little bit easier because at that point you're probably not having direct contact with everybody on a daily basis. You may be in a position where you've got somebody managing some of those people and it's not, you know, hands-on with them all the time. And a lot of people will stay with a job even if they don't like it because it's a paycheck and they're not motivated to go out and get another job. So, you know, the retention piece of it, I think it's you know, creating the right culture within your industry. But, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, finding people that subscribe to the same culture and the same work ethic and the same mindset that you have. And I know you agree with that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you always want
that
to.
That was a little bit of a pun too.
Oh yeah. Well, you want to make sure that you're surrounding yourself with like-minded individuals, and people that have you know, like you said earlier, the same aspirations and goals and drive, and are moving and want to move. Want to move the company forward. Because that's what we're all looking for as business owners. We're all looking for growth. We all want to grow, what was started as, as a small startup. We want to continue to grow that and grow that and grow that as big as we can. And so it's important that you do surround yourself with like-minded individuals. And like at the beginning of the show, as was mentioned, if you hire someone who's the wrong fit for your company, there's an opportunity cost because you have to, get rid of that person and then rehire someone else and retrain them. So there's a lot of cost involved with that, and an opportunity cost of lost revenue from hiring the first person, in the first place.
Right. I think, as far as it pertains to Facebook as well, which I mentioned earlier, I think people have to be mindful of what they're posting on their Facebook page. It's a great way to pre-qualify somebody based on, what they're posting. And, we've all put posts on there that maybe we wish we hadn't put, and it's easy to delete them, which is nice. But, once you put stuff out there, sometimes people see it, and you're kind of stuck with it, unfortunately. And you have to kind of be careful about that. The retention part of it, the attrition piece is part of it. And it does take, quite a few people, that you sometimes have to go through. And even though there is a cost involved with training people, sometimes you have to go through that to find the right candidates, and I'm all for that. The other thing I think that people struggle with in the workplace in terms of their job is that when they make a mistake, it's very hard for people to own the mistake. In my opinion, I don't really care about the mistake. I care about the reaction to the mistake. And I have a lot of regard for people that can take ownership to a mistake. Again, I think it's much easier to, explain what everyone else is doing wrong rather than taking inventory for what you're doing wrong and trying to fix it. So I don't really care about mistakes. That doesn't bother me. I think it's an opportunity to fix things, to train people, to do things better. I think it's all part of the learning curve. I think sometimes what I perceive as a mistake, somebody else may actually find a better way to do things, and I think that's an opportunity to learn. And I'm very open-minded to that. But at the same time, if it is a mistake and people deflect and don't take ownership to it, to me, it's what you're in a box. You are completely nailed in that box. And I find that that's probably the hardest employee to try to mold, is those that kind of nail themselves into a box, that they're constantly doing things the right way. They're quick to call everybody else out for what they don't do. And I think that's the hardest employee to really kind of mold. I think that my favorite employee to work with is those that really look at failure as, what's that saying, you fail forward, that's mm-hmm. how you really perfect your product and service and your own skill set by learning, like, oh, boy, ooh, don't want to do that again. And I love that. I love that employee that can really take ownership of that and go, okay, that didn't work, but that's okay, and learning, just learning and just, constantly wanting to improve upon, their skill set, their way of thinking, their way of doing things. And those are my absolute favorite. I can always tell when you have a conversation with someone where they just simply do not want to do things a different way. They'll this is the way I do it, and this is, those are just the hardest employees to mold. And I will say, there's a couple of quick questions that you can ask during the interview process to kind of flush that out. And I always ask, so you have a problem and you did something wrong. What's usually your reaction? And you can kind of tell if the way they answer that question, whether or not they're being truthful about how they would handle something like that. And I love the one that says, I'm going to make mistakes, and I know I'm going to make mistakes, but that's okay. It's just an opportunity for me to learn to do things the right way. And I love when I hear that. But there are, you know, there's great places to find talent. I think another thing before we run that I really want to impress upon people is look for referrals from people that you know. But always remember, sometimes hiring family and friends may not be the way to go. That can be very contentious at times. But usually on referrals and, you know, people that you know that have hired people and have hired quality people. And sometimes the referrals don't work out. Sometimes people think they have a perception of what your business is like, and the reality of it is they really, really don't. And we've had a few referrals that have come through that have not worked out. We've had a few that have been pretty good. So it just depends on, you know, the type of person you are, your leadership skills, your ability to retain. But always remember, retention is part of the process. And if you own a business, it's you know, it's just one of the things that growing pains you have to go through is really learning to find the right candidates. But it can be done, and people are definitely coachable and trainable if you can find the right candidate. Again, thanks for tuning in to The Sport of Winning on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Marcia Hawkins, along with Kyle Klaus. We hope you find this information useful. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on our program to share a concept, an idea, or you have useful information or a service or product for our listeners, please contact us at 888-996-9697 or via email at info@videobroadcastservices.com. Our goal here each weekday is to provide you with the most comprehensive business information available to ensure you can compete in the sport of winning for your business. Until next time, I'm Marcia Hawkins along with Kyle Klaus. Make it a great day.
The Sport of Winning on Blog Talk Radio is brought to you by the Haddad Auto Group in the beautiful Berkshires of Massachusetts. Subaru, Toyota, Hyundai, and now Nissan. The Haddad Auto Group in beautiful Pittsfield, Massachusetts. Dr. David Peck Taylor Street Dental Associates in Springfield, Massachusetts, serving Western Mass and Northern Connecticut for general and cosmetic dentistry. BMW of Darien, located just outside of Metro New York City in Connecticut. And Hudeberg Subaru and Hudeberg Nissan, located at I-240 and Shields in Oklahoma City. Also by Hawkins Roofing, expert slate and chimney service serving Western Mass. Call Mitch. Everybody else does. And by Video Broadcast Services, complete exclusive expert marketing services provided with video, with proven results for medical and dental practices, auto dealerships, and more. Call 888-996-9697.